Arguments over resource use led to the armed takeover of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge early last year. The takeover came apart after 6 weeks and the death of one man, shot by police in a confrontation at a roadblock miles from the refuge. The refuge takeover story is the focus of a new documentary film, No Man's Land, which has its Oregon premiere at the Klamath Independent Film Festival starting today and running through Sunday at a couple of venues in Klamath Falls. It features dozens of films, long and short, from Oregon and Northern California. Jesse Widener is the coordinator of the Klamath Independent Film Festival and board member and treasurer of the Klamath Filmmakers Group. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So a fifth time now for the Klamath Independent Film Festival. I guess that makes you a veteran. What got it all started?
I keep telling everybody, this sort of started on a lark 5 years ago. We have a little filmmaking group here in Klamath, and of course, when you make films, the idea is to get them on the screen in front of a live audience, and so the question was, hey, can we actually do this? And more than just in, somebody's garage or a school cafeteria or something of that sort. And we had a connection with the Ross Raglan Theater at the time, and they immediately said yes to letting us use the main theater for our first festival.
So you're going to be using the Ross Raglan Theater and the Pelican Cinemas, I understand, for the event.
Yeah, this is the first year that we're going to Pelican Cinemas as we continue to expand the festival. The first 4 years has been exclusively at the Raglan, but this will have our opening night dinner, dessert, and the exclusive film No Man's Land tonight, actually, starts at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow we'll be over at Pelican Cinemas for really the rest of our features and a longer shorts program, and then swing back to the Raglan on Sunday for the rest of our shorts programs and some filmmaker panels.
And so the Klamath Filmmakers Group, you mentioned it's a little group, but it sounds like it's certainly growing. What do you do besides the festival?
Besides the festival, we have a group of people that are locally interested in making films. That was the initial purpose of the film group. We've done some workshops before trying to educate people on the filmmaking process. We also each year have brought in the Northwest Filmmakers Festival traveling show. It's a festival in Portland. It's run for about 40 years. They have a subset of shorts that they send down for traveling. We actually have recently made some changes to the organization to expand even further to additional programming throughout the year, and some other really exciting things that we'll announce as they become publicly available. We've actually changed the organization name to, we are now just Klamath Film.
Okay, so no, the Makers Group part is gone. It's just Klamath Film.
It's gone. It was okay. A mouthful.
It was, no doubt. I have now taken it off my screen. I will not refer to it as the Klamath Filmmakers Group ever again.
That's fine.
So you've been fairly selective geographically in choosing the films for the Klamath Independent Film Festival.
Yes.
Give us a run of what you narrowed it to and what kind of difficulties, if any, that created in choosing material.
Sure. So we initially started out to showcase and accommodate our region here in Klamath Falls. Now, of course, that includes as far over as Lakeview in Lake County and Alturas down in, I think that's Modoc County, and then we got Tule Lake and Doris in Siskiyou County. So we opened originally to filmmakers who were residents of those counties. We later expanded that. What we consider our local region now is any filmmaker or any film shot in counties on the Oregon and California border, going all the way to the coast. And then this year we've expanded to include the rest of Oregon as well. Now, of course, if we were to open up to national, international, we'd get 10 or 100 times as many films. We'd have that much more material to show. Obviously, the level of quality, the production values would be that much higher. So we know we're handicapping ourselves a little bit by keeping it to local, regional, and state. But we also want the flavor of local, regional, and state. I always tell everybody, I grew up in the Bay Area, California, in Sonoma County, which, of course, everybody considers the wine country. And people come from all over the world to the wine country, but they don't come to sample New York wine and Washington wine. They come to sample Sonoma County wine, and that's it. So we really want to create this festival that shows a flavor of Southern Oregon and Oregon in whole, that if somebody wants to see, what is Oregon filmmaking, what is Southern Oregon filmmaking, they come to the Klamath Independent Film Office.
Well, I noticed the line on the web, too, Jesse, selected by real people for real audiences to enjoy. What do you mean?
We've been to a lot of festivals, and a lot of them are themed, or they're sort of niched one way or another. They're documentary heavy, or there's a lot of film festivals in Portland that are really eccentric to one particular topic. A lot of film festivals might be particular to one viewpoint, something very sociopolitical, and they don't tend to fill the whole gamut of films that filmmakers are making out there. And we know, having connections to Southern Oregon filmmakers, that really only about 10% of the filmmakers are making heavily socio-political documentaries. The rest are making just, an action film, a comedy, a little drama or whatnot. So we try to select a slate of films that's really a broad selection of genres, artistic types, viewpoints, both from the left and the right, and no man's land is one that's all over the board, left, right, and center. There's viewpoints all over that. And then from an audience standpoint, you know, there's tens of billions of dollars a year spent on people going to the movies. You know, granted, a lot of that's, you know, the Star Wars, the latest Marvel movie or whatnot. But most film festivals have a slate of films that general audiences in whole wouldn't be all that interested in. And so we try to pay attention to picking films that we think there's a little something for everyone. And even if there's something that's not quite somebody's cup of tea, we think they'll find some value in it. And our films are selected by a democratic jury of about 7 people that vary from filmmakers to just regular people. And we've asked regular people to be on our jury, and they say, well, I don't really know much about films. And we say, that's fine. You represent the general audience. We just want to see what you find enjoyable and entertaining.
So how big a list did you have in where did you start and what did you end up with?
We got somewhere around 80 submissions this year, which is a continual improvement for us. It's a fairly significant increase from last year. We're showing from that list, I think we're showing, I want to say 35, 37, something like that. And then we've got an additional sort of retrospective of animated shorts from a company called Leica out of Portland added on top of that.
We're talking with Jesse Widener about the Klamath Independent Film Festival, for which he is the coordinator as the board member and as a board member and the treasurer of Klamath Film. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we referenced No Man's Land a few times. That is the documentary about the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge takeover in January of 2016. It looks like you'll actually have this on screen a week before the Tribeca Film Festival in New York.
I wasn't actually aware of that. I saw it had been selected for Tribeca. I guess I just assumed that it had already shown in Tribeca.
Now they're a week behind you, so congratulations.
I kind of wonder how much of a premiere we are. I mean, I know we're the Oregon premiere. I have a feeling we're the West Coast premiere, but I didn't verify that with the filmmakers. But we're getting it pretty straight on here.
All right, let's hear. I want to hear some of the trailer from No Man's Land. We put up about 3/4 of a minute of what happens in the trailer, and I'll set this up. This is a high school freshman talking at one of those meetings at the school in Burns.
I should not have to be scared in my own hometown.
People felt like it was dangerous because it was. There were the people who coalesced around this occupation, you had no idea who they were or why they were so heavily armed.
A lady at the grocery store one night just came up to me and said, you know what I hate about this the most? I keep wondering every time I see somebody if that's one of them. Never defined them, but when we start worrying about who our neighbors are, that's an underlying fear that people shouldn't have to deal with.
That the trailer from No Man's Land, which is about the takeover at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in January of 2016. It'll be the one of the feature events going on at the Klamath Independent Film Festival this weekend. So this obviously has a national appeal. It goes far beyond the boundaries of Oregon. How did you manage to hook up with David Byers and get the rights to show it?
Actually, through a connection with Tim Williams of the Governor's Office of Film and Television here in Oregon, and mentioned again of the Leica company up in Portland, the marketing director of Leica, Mark Shapiro, was the first one that really brought this to my attention. He said, hey, I've just seen this film about the occupation. It's great. We need to get a hold of this. And he had CC'd me and Tim of the Governor's Office. And from there, I got a connection to David and got him to submit it. The trailer is kind of a little interesting side story on that, too. So the one that's on our site and the one that you played is a snippet from the film about the with the young girl in the I think it's the Fairgrounds Center where they were having a community discussion. We actually have a more comprehensive trailer that gives more of an overview of the film that's been running in about 6 theaters in Southern Oregon right now. I think there's 2 in Ashland, 1 in Grants Pass, the one in Klamath, and actually one in Mount Shasta and one in Crescent City as well. I couldn't run that trailer online. It couldn't be placed online because of the way the festival circuit works. There was a limited amount of content that they could have very publicly available. But anyone who's seen those in the theaters or maybe sees a movie earlier today might see that in the theater. We are only showing the film once tonight. The film starts at 9 o'clock here in Klamath Falls. It will not play again throughout the weekend.
So does in order to see the film tonight as part of the Klamath Independent Film Festival, do people have to sign up for the gala dinner, and is that even possible anymore?
They don't have to. They can. If they want a full dinner and the movie, and actually that would be a pass to see the entire film festival. It'd be $45. There are still some available, but if they want to see just No Man's Land itself, they can still purchase those tickets. Those are $12 a piece. They can get them online. If they go out to klamathfilm.org/festival, they're going to see trailers and synopses for everything. There'll be a link for ticket sales. Tickets are actually being processed through Film Freeway, but the site will redirect people there. If they want to buy them in person, they're welcome to here in Klamath. Of course, we do have that dinner right before the movie, so we will not be live selling tickets until about a half hour before the film, when we'll start letting people into the lobby and into the theater.
And that is, again, at the Ross Ragland Theater tonight. So did David Byers get the footage from other people, did he begin his doc on his own while the takeover was still going on?
Yeah, my understanding is that he shot a good chunk of himself. I mean, obviously, if you watch this film, you'll see a lot of file footage, and you'll see a lot of news footage as well. But my understanding is he did shoot a good chunk of this himself. In fact, he's listed as a cinematographer on it. Now, there are interview segments that obviously he shot, but my understanding is he did have access behind the scenes as well with the occupiers in the refuge, recording their conversations and being a quote-unquote fly on the wall. In fact, there's even a scene later in the film as the intensity of the situation rises where the occupiers are arguing about them being filmed, and they mentioned that whoever's filming it at that time, which I assume is David, is this guy's got approval to be here. It's okay for him to be here, kind of thing.
So does the documentary, does No Man's Land play things straight down the middle, or does it take a position?
I wouldn't say that it takes a position. I think it's such a complicated issue is really the case, because the issue is actually fairly simple on what the arguments are on both sides. The problem is the people making those arguments weren't firmly necessarily on one side or another, or they were a part of one argument and a part of another, or not a part of some other aspect to the argument that everybody was supposedly coalescing among. So it was really kind of a mess of viewpoints that are somewhere between two polar ends. The film itself, I would say, doesn't really take a stand. I think there are some things that I think I would have liked to have seen some more information on, because, again, there's so much that happened during the scenario, but, of course, there is a limited time length to run the film. So I'm sure that there was an editorial choice on what all to include, who all to interview, that sort of thing.
Well, and as we mentioned already, the No Man's Land is just one film shown one night, as opposed to the other three dozen or so films at the Klamath Independent Film Festival.
Yes.
Any of yours in here, Jesse?
I do have a short one in there. There was a film contest that the governor's office and Northwest Film Center ran last fall that I made a little 2 or 3 minute film for, and the only thing I had time to make in the last year amongst all the organization for this festival, so I just tossed it in.
What's it called?
It's called A Frame of Reference. It's a short little documentary about how framing things up in camera is really what sets the tone and the movie magic to make a location more than what it seems.
That sounds fun. I notice it's on the same program with a film called How to Marry a Vampire, Episode 1.
Yes. That's a mockumentary that, all these reality shows they have now, I'm trying to remember now.
Like How to Marry a Millionaire? Who want you?
Yeah, there was a How to Marry a Millionaire, and now it's not How to Marry a Millionaire. There's a different show that I can't remember what it is, but yeah, that sort of thing. Except in this case, it's a contest to marry a vampire.
So that's the film. That's the film listed before yours, A Frame of Reference, on the program, and the one listed after is Sangre de Cristo, The Inferno of Blood.
Yeah, this is made by a kid out of Ashland who's, I think he's 17 years old, maybe he's 18 now, who knows. But he's done an extensive amount of animation. It's kind of an anime-looking thing, and which is fairly unique for our area. I mean, animators are actually fairly few and far between, or at least publicly few and far between. I think a lot of them keep to themselves, and we don't know about them. But this kid's got some friends or family or something going on in Asia. He's got sort of a production company where they produce a lot of the raw material for him, and then he animates it. And he had something actually in the Ashland Independent Film Festival earlier this year. But some really great work. I think his work's definitely worth checking out.
I wanted to ask, too, about a film called Down. Don't Let the Bastards Grind You Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is by Greg. I may mispronounce his last name, so I hope I get this right. Greg Gobelt is a...
He's a real estate agent, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a real estate agent by day. He's a musician, has a band, I guess at night, but whenever he could do that. But it's a music video, was shot with an all, I think, Ashland crew, and it was shot in the Ashland area. It's very well made, very polished, catchy tune. And again, we try to show a wide variety of things. So it's a music video. I mean, I've had people ask me in the past, you know, this is what I have for a film. Is that a film? Do you accept that? Can you do music videos? Can I do a slideshow set to music? And I always say, you know, we don't, it's hard for us to tell you what is and isn't a film. Just go ahead and submit it. We'll take a look at it. And if it's something we want to put in the festival, we will.
Okay. So really do have some local stuff in there. And I want to talk about some of the statewide stuff you got, because you mentioned the Leica shorts. This is Leica mm-hmm. Studios that used to be Will Vinton Studios originally, the yep. California Dancing Raisins, all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So, a lot of people seem to be unaware of this company. It's basically our own Pixar. You know, it's about 500 employees. It's based in Portland. They did Coraline, Paranorman, The Box Trolls, Kubo and the Two Strings, which at least that last one, I think they were Oscar nominated for. So they're pretty well up there. They tend to do more stop motion than they do CG, so they're not quite Pixar-ish. But this slate of films that we're showing are animated films by people who work at Leica now, or have worked at Leica in the last year. They're not films made by Leica per se. You know, if somebody goes to apply for a job with Leica, this is something they would have on their reel to say, hey, this is the kind of stuff I can do. And there's quite a wide variety of animation there. There's some stop motion. There is some drawn animation. There is some CG animation.
All right. So is there one can't miss other than No Man's Land and the Klamath Independent Film Festival?
I really enjoyed Shut Up, Anthony. It's Kyle Eaton from Portland. I think it's his first feature film. This is our last feature running tomorrow night at Pelican Cinemas. It's just a witty indie comedy. I think it was a fun film. All of Sunday, really, I think is a great overview for somebody to see filmmaking in Southern Oregon and Oregon as a whole, because it is our shorts program. So you're going to see probably 30 films during that day from the Portland area, from Southern Oregon. We don't have anything from Northern California this year, but again, a great overview of what's going on.
It's a long list of stuff. 3 days of events, starting with the dinner tonight at 7 and the single screening of No Man's Land tonight at 9 at the Ross Ragland Theater in Klamath Falls. You can find it all online at klamathfilm.org. Jesse Widener is the coordinator of the festival and board member and treasurer of Klamath Film. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you for having me.